order. Whoops. Now we have the microphone. We'll call this meeting to order for today. And first order of business is to pass the meeting minutes from February 21st, 2024. Representative Kraft, were you present tonight?
I was present. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and I move their approval.
Great. All those in favor of moving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. All right. So the first bill that we're going to take up today is House File 1990, and it's a bill that I'm carrying, and so I'm just going to do it from here. It's just going to be a quick vehicle bill. It's a vehicle bill. I don't know if... So just an FYI for you. Anyway, so and so with that, I move House File 1990 be re-referred to the General Register. And any questions or concerns? Seeing none, I renew my motion to re-refer House File 1990 to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. With that, the motion prevails and the bill is re-referred. So now we're going to talk in more detail about some bills. First up is Representative Kraft on House File 3704. As you get settled, you can when you get settled, you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed with telling us about your bill.
So thank you, Madam Chair. I move that.
You do. Thank you. Sorry.
House File 3704 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Great. And with that, it looks like, Representative Kraft, you have an A3 amendment?
I do. I move the A3 amendment to put the bill in the form in which I would like it considered.
Great. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. With that, the amendment is adopted. We'll give that one a little pet tap, too. And with that, would you like to tell us about your bill as amended?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. So grid enhancing technologies, or GETs, are about making better use of existing transmission infrastructure. So we've all heard that we need to build more transmission lines, but these projects cost tens or hundreds of millions of dollars and take years to build. GETs often cost hundreds of thousands of dollars with deployment times measured in months, but they can increase capacity by 10 to 40%. So MISO, the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator that operates the electric transmission system in a large part of Minnesota and in portions of 15 states in the Midwest, has the highest grid congestion cost of any electricity market in the country. In 2022, wholesale prices were $3.7 billion higher in MISO due to inadequate transmission capacity. So this impacts costs to Minnesota ratepayers. House File 3704 would require that utilities evaluate and create plans to implement these comparatively low-cost, fast-to-deploy grid-enhancing technologies, things such as dynamic line ratings, advanced power flow control, and topology optimization that can often pay for themselves within months. Many grid-enhancing technologies have been commercially available for years and are more widely used in other parts of the world, but utilities in the U.S. have been a bit slower to deploy these tools. While several utilities in Minnesota have been leaders in piloting dynamic line ratings in the U.S. and were very helpful as I was developing this bill, the bill is needed and can help Minnesota ratepayers start to see the benefits of more operational deployments of GETs needed to effectively mitigate grid congestion. So the vision for the bill is to shine a light on this really exciting area, incorporate GETs into the analysis of grid management and operations in Minnesota so Minnesota ratepayers can see lower electricity costs, so that Minnesota renewable energy generation can see less curtailment, and so our grid can support more clean power to help hit our 2040 clean energy goal. So brief summary of what the bill does with the A3 amendment is that it requires utilities with significant amounts of transmission line miles in Minnesota to analyze whether the use of GETS would alleviate congestion points in their systems, and if so, how they could be implemented to do so, and provide that to the Public Utilities Commission. From there, it is up to the PUC and the management of the non-public utilities what happens next. The bill does not mandate that any projects happen. The first report would be due on July 1st, 2025, and then subsequent reports would be every 2 years based on a timeline to best fit in with other PUC filings transmission providers are already doing. With that, I would actually ask my testifier to come up.
Great. Welcome to committee. This is Madeline Smirlo with Regional Policy Manager, or as the Regional Policy Manager for Clean Grid Alliance. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Acom and members of the committee. My name is Madeline Smirillo. I'm a regional policy manager at Clean Grid Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization based in St. Paul that does renewable energy advocacy in 9 states in the Midwest, including Minnesota, which is where I'm a resident, and manage our legislative and regulatory affairs for the organization. So I am grateful to be here on behalf of CGA, Clean Grid Alliance, where I work as a regional policy manager, and greatly appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House File 3704, which would require the submission of plans to the Public Utilities Commission regarding the implementation of grid-enhancing technologies, or as I will call them in this testimony, GETS. Minnesota has insufficient transmission capacity to support our changing electric needs, and this contributes to expensive congestion in grid operations and interconnection delays. Significant new interconnection and transmission infrastructure is essential to enable the thousands of new megawatts of wind, solar, and storage that will be needed to meet Minnesota's 2040 carbon-free energy requirements. But new high-voltage transmission lines average 7 to 10 years from MISO approval to operations. GETS offer a cost-effective short- and medium-term solution to bridge the growing gap between transmission capacity and demand. The continued volume of congestion and wind curtailment happening in southwest Minnesota is unacceptable, depriving communities hosting wind farms and of the revenue that they should be receiving from existing projects. We must act to provide relief. GETS are the quickest and cheapest way to increase grid capacity and relieve congestion. As a state, House File 3704 sets us up to make a modest investment and see a significant impact. Additionally, as we transition to renewables, the need for a flexible and adaptable grid becomes essential. GETS facilitate the seamless integration of renewable energy by mitigating intermittency issues and optimizing power flow, thereby accelerating our transition to a sustainable energy future. By embracing grid-enhancing technologies, we can fortify our energy infrastructure against weather events and cyber threats. Grid reliability is our number one priority, and these technologies enable rapid response mechanisms and adaptive measures, ensuring that our grid can withstand unforeseen challenges. GETS provide us an opportunity to optimize transfer capacity, minimize losses, and reduce operational costs, ultimately leading to savings for customers. Investing in grid-enhancing technologies not only modernizes our infrastructure, but also creates job opportunities in the burgeoning clean energy sector. By supporting House File 3704, we can stimulate economic growth, foster innovation, and continue to position Minnesota as a leader in the green technology revolution. In conclusion, though CGA re-emphasizes the continued need for substantial transmission build-out in the long term, passing House File 3704 on grid-enhancing technologies will initiate a near-term effort to secure a reliable, resilient, and efficient power grid to meet the needs of our communities today and prepare us for the challenges of tomorrow. By embracing innovation, investing in clean energy solutions, and prioritizing cost-effective strategies, we can pave the way toward a more affordable and sustainable future for all Minnesotans. Thank you, Chair Acom.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Representative Kraft or our testifier before we go to public testimony? Seeing none, thank you. I'm sure you'll be here if questions come up afterwards. And we have one person signed up for public testimony at this point, Stacy Fuji with Great River Energy. Welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Stacy Fuji and I represent Great River Energy. So most of you in this room know Great River Energy is a generation and transmission cooperative, and we are owned by our 27 distribution cooperatives. So Great River Energy was formed so that for two purposes: to provide wholesale power and transmission services for reliability, affordability, and to the best interests of our members. To that end, as we discovered that congestion was increasing, we did something about it. We, along in conjunction with Grid North Partners, which is a voluntary group of 10 utilities, completed a study in September of 2023 that showed 19 projects that could be done to facilitate congestion relief in Minnesota. At the end of 2023, several of those projects were put in service. The remainder of those projects will be finalized and put in service by the end of this year or next. Additionally, as Representative Kraft noted, Great River Energy is already utilizing GETS, or grid-enhancing technologies. We piloted dynamic line ratings program that we are currently working with our members, with our vendor, to expand further in our system. So we would say that we've done all these things without a mandate. But we understand, obviously, Representative Kraft and stakeholders' desire for more information and really to have a gut check on the utilities, right? So as Ms. Smirlo said, so as utilities, our priority, our job, is to maintain a reliable and safe transmission system. So as we go along, you know, the grid is ever changing. The grid goes beyond the borders of the state of Minnesota. The grid encompasses transmission congestion or limitation points in Iowa and Illinois have an impact on Minnesota and vice versa. New generation resources are constantly coming onto the grid, and retirements are also taking resources off the grid. So we understand that people want assurances that as we move forward in an ever-changing system, that we are looking at all options, including grid-enhancing technologies. And so we get that. And so we want to thank Representative Kraft for really listening to those concerns and really taking them to heart. So the A3 amendment that the committee just adopted moves us a long way. It substantially addresses the issues that we raised with Representative Kraft. But we would like to continue to work on this to do one small tweak and to be able to align and be consistent with what is in current existing law, and that is this. So the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission does not have jurisdiction to order Great River Energy to implement a project. We are cooperative, so only our board can approve new projects. So consistent with, so in the amendment, the A3 amendment in lines 2.9 to 2.10, you will see sort of that beginning distinction between investor-owned utilities and all other types of utilities. However, so we would like a little more an expansion and clarification of that language. So within the resource planning statute, it says that, you know, Great River Energy files a resource plan with the Public Utilities Commission. It undergoes the same scrutiny by the commission, by the Department of Commerce, by stakeholders, as an investor-owned utilities resource plan goes to, with one exception. So under the law, it says that when we file a resource plan with the commission, that resource plan is advisory only. And so we would like to include that type of language as not only a clarification, but comfort language for us to really align with all the laws that are currently in place. And like I said, really we want to thank Representative Kraft for taking the time to listen to us. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Any engineering questions, I'm going to punt to an engineer. But.
Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else wishing to testify on this bill from the audience today? Seeing none, let's see, we have... Oh, Representative Swedzinski, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just have a general question, if that's okay.
Sure.
You know, just in general, Representative Kraft, it sounds like, you know, some of these utilities are already doing this. You know, why do you feel that you need to mandate it?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Swedzinski. So Great River Energy certainly has talked about some of the specific things they're doing, but I would say relative to the potential for what can be done in Minnesota with this, we're early. Like there's a lot more that can be done.
Representative
Smith. And that's borne out by my conversations with some national experts who have looked at this. Do you want more detail on it? There's a great letter in there that comes from the Watt Coalition that goes into examples and more detail on the technology.
Follow-up, Representative.
Thank you. I mean, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kraft, I still don't understand if they're already doing it, why you feel the necessary for the state to mandate it.
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Swedzinski, there's a, from my sense of this in digging into it and from others, experts in this, that there is a lot more benefit that can be done by an accelerated, shining a light on this era, a potential accelerated implementation of these in terms of opening up more of our grid for more renewable energy and saving ratepayers money. So I think we could do it faster, and that's borne out by others who've looked at it.
Follow-up, Representative?
I'm all right. I have an amendment.
Pardon?
I have an amendment. If you get to it.
I think we're ready to take that up. So go ahead if you'd like to offer your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate Representative Kraft's talk, concern about cost and cost to ratepayers. And this amendment just ensures that we do keep cost as a major component of any of this moving forward. And the A2 amendment, which I'm moving forward before the committee and I wish for you to consider, is it requires a filing to include identification of the source of the grid congestion. And on top of that, I really focus and compare the cost to remove the source of congestion compared to the implementing the grid enhancing technology. And so if we're truly concerned about cost to in agreement with your statement, Representative Kraft, the cost to ratepayers, that we would ultimately keep that first and foremost in mind to say, you know, if the cause of the congestion is the problem, then that would go. Or if it's the cost of actually getting rid of the congestion is the first thing to go. So we just allow that to protect ratepayers ultimately so that they're not being penalized for things that are out of their control. And I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Kraft, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Would. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Swedzinski, for the amendment. I will point out that in the bill, there's quite a bit that talks about making sure that these are cost-effective investments that the PUC is supposed to evaluate. So that's in there to make sure it's cost-effective. I'm going to ask for a no vote on this. What you seem to be asking for is that the PUC would be looking at what is generating load and telling that to get off the grid, which doesn't, I mean, what if it's a school that's generating load or more EVs that have come online. So it doesn't appear that this is something we ever do, and so I just don't think it's a workable solution. We have plenty of focus in here on making sure these are cost-effective.
Representative Swedzinski.
Madam Chair, and then, you know, Representative Kraft, if that's what you're concerned about is limiting the load, I would be happy to orally amend the amendment to just say the production of. So the production of electricity, if we're concerned about that we have room to shove stuff into the line rather than take out, so that it would be from a capacity of generation and not necessarily consumption, if that's the issue. I'd be open to an oral amendment if that would help to gain your support on the amendment.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Swedzinski, I don't know that I follow you. I think you said that I was concerned about load. I'm concerned about this. I don't think this is something that we do. Putting this in just isn't workable and doesn't make sense. So I'm opposed to it on either side. I think when you're, you know, there's stuff in here to look at. Will the grid-enhancing technologies improve the cost-effectiveness and the amount of capacity that can be handled by the grid? I think it's sufficient as is.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay. No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion to the bill before Representative, yes, Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know it's hard for me too sometimes.
I almost, instead of saying representative, I almost said senator. So.
Oh, no, that's happened too, Madam Chair. Yes. In fact, we'll talk offline. But,
okay.
So after you've amended this and you it's 500 miles or more, who's left as the IOUs that are still, that this pertains to?
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Rarick, I don't have that on the top of my head. I know it exempts, winds up exempting some smaller ones that have less than 500, but I don't remember. I mean, it's obviously XL, GRE, Minnesota Power, but I don't remember all the ones that are in there or not. I can get that to you right afterwards.
Representative Rarick?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, you know, I'm sure that mandates will lower costs because that works all the time. That's awesome. So I'm just wondering, we didn't hear anything from any of the IOUs. I know you worked with GRE, but they're different because they work with co-ops and they have their own governance. But we didn't really hear anything from the IOUs so that are directly regulated by the PUC in that kind of way. And what are they telling you about this since they haven't come to speak at all? Or there's some of them are there in the room. I don't know. What do they have to say about it?
And it seems, before giving over to Representative, I believe there are some letters in the packet from some others, but Representative Kraft?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Rarick, so this is, yes, it is requiring a study of a area that has been shown to have significant benefit. It doesn't require implementation. Requires analysis, and then that the PUC can determine if there is a cost of this will benefit Minnesota ratepayers. So this will save Minnesotans money. Now, in terms of what the IOUs are saying, I don't want to speak for them. I've had great discussions with them, and I think they understand where this is trying to go. There's some interesting pilots going on. But this is saying, yeah, I want you, that we should, given the potential benefits from this, that we should look at it more.
Any follow-up, Representative?
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So why do we need a mandate then to do this if they're already on board to do this? And I know Excel in particular is kind of at the tip of the spear for doing all kinds of things innovatively in the nation. So why do we need a mandate to have them investigate this and study it?
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Rarick, I think I already answered that. It's not happening fast enough. There's a lot of opportunity to do this. Talk with many outside experts on it and looked at it, and the potential reward for Minnesota ratepayers and for our renewable energy goals is significant, and I think it's worth having a study. You are welcome to disagree and vote against it, but that's why I brought the bill forth.
Thank you, Representative Kraft. Any further questions, Representative Rarick?
Just really quickly. Thank you, Madam Chair. So you understand MISO goes from here all the way to Texas and up into Canada, and you talked about, Minnesota is just a small part of MISO. And the congestion is not just Minnesota, but it literally is the entire system of MISO. So it's a little strange to me that we're doing this just in Minnesota when you're talking about a humongous system, and it's really more of a on the federal level. So what, do you have any comments about trying to do something like this solely in Minnesota when we're part of a very, very large system? MISO is quite large.
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Rarick, so GRE was just up here talking about a set of projects they did within Minnesota that improved the situation on transmission within Minnesota. There are certain lines that will benefit from it. Obviously, there's two ends of a line, and if the other end is somewhere else, that will have to be factored into the analysis. So it doesn't make sense to improve one half of a line if the other doesn't. So that would not be a recommended bit. But there's things that we can do here in Minnesota. And by the way, one of the things that one of the IOUs did say is they would actually like to open this up and maybe encourage more discussions with MISO. So maybe this will help encourage those types of discussions.
Representative
Final Barrett. Comment, thank you. You know, this sort of development takes years, if not a decade. The grid development is quite complex. And so I just, it's just curious to me. It's just interesting to me, I guess, that we're having this discussion here. It's almost like it should be a much broader discussion within the whole MISO district or MISO regulation area. It seems a little bit odd that we're pushing a mandate down. We've already done the 2040 and other things, and it seems like an awful lot to ask of these big systems, whether it's Minnesota Power or Xcel or Otter Tail Power. I know you want it to go as quickly as possible, but that also comes at a cost. So I conflate the two things of you saying, well, this is going to save money, but it's going to be a mandate which costs money more typically, and it's going to be faster, which costs more money too. So I have a hard time believing that this is, I mean, maybe in 10 years from now it will save money, but those two kind of pressures cost more money. So when you're pushing faster and mandating it, those are two things that costs more money just in general. So I have a hard time understanding how this is going to save money and make things better.
Any closing comments, Representative Kraft?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the point of grid-enhancing technologies is not to take 10 years to do things, that these things are less risky to do, cost less, and can be implemented in a short period of time to get benefits. These are being done extensively in other parts of the world. Not as much here. We can benefit significantly from doing this. So I thank you for hearing the bill.
And with that, the bill is laid over. So just have to get a little. Yeah. Okay. And Representative Kraft is going to stay put and address House File 3457. Or Representative Kraft moves House File 3457 to be re-referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. And again, Representative Kraft, I see you have an author's amendment, or excuse me, a DE.
Correct.
Yeah.
I move the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the form in which I would like it considered.
Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. So this is another grid-related bill. So as we've talked about, Minnesota and the U.S. need a lot more power lines to support our transition away from fossil fuels. While we've made good progress, it's not enough to support the significant amounts of new wind and solar power that will be coming online, as well as electrification happening in our buildings and transportation systems. So this bill is about trying to make the building of transmission lines faster by reducing permitting time and creating more time predictability in the process. In building out new transmission lines, the Public Utilities Commission is typically the key agency that has to approve projects. However, often other agencies are involved and have to approve permits. Talking about the DNR, Pollution Control Agency, Commerce, Department of Ag, MnDOT, to name some of them. These permits happen after the PUC gives their approval and can sometimes take months and cause delay. So the bill with its amendments would require agencies to make permitting decisions within 60 days of the PUC's final approval, subject to them having received a completed permit application. And that's it. With that, I do have a testifier.
I believe Kevin Prentice, yes, from La Una. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Acom, Representative Kraft. Kevin Prentice on behalf of La Una, Minnesota, North Dakota. As I think the legislators are aware, we represent 14,000 construction laborers, work on a wide variety of construction projects, including energy projects. We're also very active in the permitting process. We're excited to support ambitious goals, but we know the goals don't accomplish anything until there's steel in the ground, until projects are built. That's how our members make our living, and so it's important to us. And so we're very painfully aware sometimes of sort of permitting delays and challenges that can not only sort of delay by a period of weeks and months, but in some cases lose entire construction seasons. I appreciate Representative Kraft bringing this bill forward. We've participated in, I want to say, maybe 50 permitting proceedings in Minnesota, which is probably more than anyone but the environmental review staff. Our members attend these hearings. We file comments. We track these projects because that's how our members go to work. And what we've found, and I think what's important to understand about these, is there is a lead agency for these projects. It's the Public Utilities Commission. And so that they're responsible for environmental review. They're responsible for the primary permit. And then there's a number of subsidiary permits, whether it's a stormwater permit from the Pollution Control Agency, a tall tower permit from MnDOT. It might be a DNR permit where there's impact on some DNR lands. And those agencies are supposed to participate in that process, which is fairly lengthy at the commission. But then when it's done, it's important that we not have an additional delay, because we really look to those dates as the dates when you could start construction. And they try to get the decisions made, you know, sometime in May, so that we could, you know, get the machines moving and be out on the ground and get that project complete before the end of winter. And so this bill, I think, gives a reasonable time for agencies to respond. All of that, all the information, that most of the information they need is already in the record and can be prepared in advance, right? And so we think 60 days is reasonable and would save considerable time. Thank you.
Thank you. It looks like there's a couple of people who have signed up for public testimony. Randall Doning from the DNR. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Randall Donine with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I'm a section manager of the Conservation Assistance and Regulation Section within the Division of Ecological and Water Resources. We sure appreciate the goal of this bill, and DNR is very committed to permitting efficiency and effectiveness. And we also appreciate the amendments that have been made, but we still have some concerns with this bill. Large energy facility projects need several DNR authorizations, such as utility crossing licenses, work in public waters, and threatened and endangered species takings permits. In many, if not most cases, the number of authorizations, the complexity of the applications, and the complexity of the permitting requirements will make the 60-day requirement infeasible. Permit applications are very site-specific, and many project proposers may not want to expend resources on developing applications until they are assured the route permit from the PUC. The 10-day review period to determine an application complete cannot be achieved in most circumstances. Some applications include detailed surveys or technical reports, and these need to be reviewed by our subject matter experts to determine completeness. This simply can't be done within 10 days. In order to meet the 60-day timeline requirement, other regulatory decisions will need to wait so that staff resources can focus on large energy facilities. This would result in other projects having longer review periods, and this would affect our abilities to meet the existing environmental review permitting goals of the 90 days for Tier 1 permits and 150 days for Tier 2 permits. This can create a fairness issue for these other projects. We have copies of our fiscal year 23 permit efficiency report that shows substantial success at meeting these goals. DNR meets its statutory timeliness goals for the vast majority of its permits. Typically for large projects, the additional complexity of a project and the need for partner and public engagement and the responsiveness of the project proposer in providing the necessary information can contribute to longer timelines. The only way to meet the intent of the 60-day timeline without resulting in delay to other projects is to hire more staff resources. Assumptions and estimates for these are currently being developed for the fiscal note that's been requested. I'd like to say we're also glad to continue working with the author on the language of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Doning. And our next testifier is Alexis Donath from MPCA. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Alexis Donath, and I serve as legislative coordinator at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Thank you to Representative Kraft for bringing this bill forward and for seeking to advance the infrastructure that's necessary to build out Minnesota's clean energy system. Ensuring Minnesota has the cleanest electricity available is a key element of Minnesota's climate action framework. It is one aspect of the work that's needed to reduce overall emissions and to provide clean electricity so that other sectors are able to reduce their respective emissions. MPCA had a productive conversation with the author regarding our initial questions about how this requirement affects the agency's regulatory oversight responsibilities for these types of projects. We thank the author for his openness to this conversation. The delete all amendment addresses MPCA's concerns about the bill. It addresses a scenario where the agency might receive an incomplete application for a permit or certification covered by this bill, and it recognizes that some regulatory actions by the MPCA require cooperation with or review by federal agencies and that the timing of their work is outside the control of the MPCA. We look forward to continued conversation with the author to ensure that the bill works as well as possible with the agency's regulatory responsibilities for transmission projects and to ensure that Minnesotans and our environment are protected. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Ms. Donath. Any questions before we go to amendments? Seeing none, I think we have an A2, mm-hmm. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A2 amendment before the committee. This amendment really strikes at an issue that, you know, I understand. I would say there's probably not a member in this room that doesn't want to lower the amount of time when it comes to permitting across the state. And what this does is really protect other permit folks that are looking for permits in other areas of development across the state. And so while you are setting a 60-day mandate or push for these particular projects, what we would do is simply pause that mandate if it's causing the growth of wait for other permits. And what we're saying is, so essentially, if you're increasing the workload for a particular style of project, which is named in this bill that you're carrying, Representative Kraft, that if it causes other permits throughout other agencies to be take longer. So if you're someone building some different type of project that doesn't happen to have preferential treatment, I would prefer a bill that just treated all permits like this for the 60-day or even 30-day. But if we're going to treat them differently, that if that mandate or change in law causes other permits to take longer, that it would pause it so that you're not doing damage to other parts of the economy on behalf of these particular projects, and I'd ask for a roll call.
With a roll call being requested, we will do a roll call. Representative Kraft to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Swazinski. So I appreciate the thought. I'm going to ask for a no vote, and here's why. Given the importance we have right now of building transmission, this bill is establishing a service level. These types of projects are not surprises. They come with a pretty long run-up through the PUC process. So this is, requesting or pushing our agencies to do appropriate planning to be ready for them. So I appreciate where you're going with this, but I'm going to ask for a no vote.
Any discussion to the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Representative Susan.
And just final comment before we vote on it. You know, I think one of the things that we've heard twice now is that because of we have to speed this process up, you know, at the end of the day, the majority party here has a hard date. You put into law 100% by 2040. 100% by 2040. That's the date. You know, it's in law. Like, you've given the charge to those that are generating electricity, transmissioning electricity across the state and what the goal is. That's the goal. And now you're going to put other projects at risk that are going to take longer to permit because you're going to try to streamline that process. And I'm going to guess we're going to hear other bills and later in this session, and we heard them last year as well, is we're going to be prescriptive in how they're actually going to reach those goals. Rather than allow the professionals in the electric market to come to some sort of a solution to meet this demand that the legislature is putting on energy generators and also their folks that they serve, the customers, now we're going to tell them exactly how to do it. And, you know, if this room can figure out all the problems when it comes to energy and generation, this is the first step. Like, we're understanding it's a problem. You know, if the date is an issue, the timing of permits is an issue, maybe you should relax the mandate to actually adequately protect things across the state. You know, this is probably the first bill that is a glaring admission to all Minnesotans that the mandate the DFL party put on energy generation in the state of Minnesota, carbon-free by 2040, probably isn't going to work. Well, I know there's some GOP colleagues that have said, I told you so. I'm not going to say that today. I'm just going to imply it.
Agreed.
Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, my lead over there inspired me. There's just some things I want to say to what he's trying to accomplish with this amendment. You know, and I respect what we're trying to do here because this is our first stab at trying to get some permitting and regulation reform done, which I think we're all starting to agree is something that needs to happen. But it can't be at the risk of already increasing the process to other industries and other businesses and other communities around this state. As someone that's lived and breathed it since I was a kid of projects that have came and gone because of our system, I do not want to risk, and we had an agency here today saying they had concerns for the same reason we brought this amendment here. We got to be thinking twice and acting once, because if we don't, we'll perpetuate this problem and we'll continue to have other projects that would be growing the state, providing jobs and providing for that quality of life that we all are so desperate to give every Minnesotan in the state. We can't afford to act rationally. We have to think twice, act once. For that reason, we need to add this amendment today.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Kraft?
No.
Lead Swedzinski?
Yes.
Representative Bierman?
Bierman, no.
Representative Carroll?
No.
Representative Davis?
Aye.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Hemmingson-Yeager?
No.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Aye.
Representative Meckland?
Aye.
Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Rarick?
Aye.
Representative Ream?
No.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
I apologize. Representative Altendorf?
Aye.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further amendments, any final discussion on the bill? Representative Rarick. I'm just going to say it slowly so I can think it and do it correctly. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have been called Senator too, so it gets all mixed up, and it just is going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah,
but thank you, Madam Chair.
We're trying.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kraft, I'm wondering if you could let me know what, in the definition of what is a large electric power facility, what's the definition of that? What are we talking about?
Representative Kraft.
Specifically, say line 1.6.
Madam Chair, Representative Rarick, this is from existing statute, so this is, there's nothing new in this.
Representative Rarick.
I could ask maybe for House Research to not hear.
And unfortunately, Bob's doing duty in the Environment Committee, but he could certainly rattle off the list of large energy for large electric power facilities. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I didn't look up the definition myself, but I just assumed as the author of the bill that's changing this that you would know what's inclusive of a large electrical power facility. Is it 50 megawatts generation or more? Is it 5? Is it 2? And it would be important for us to know because, for example, that would be a very large scale solar field. It would be a 50 megawatt That is what the PUC regulates as a 50 megawatt facility or larger. If it's less than that, it kind of gets kicked back to the locals. If we're talking about power generation from windmills, that's a different story again. Are we talking about a hydrogen facility? I just was hoping that you could explain to us exactly what you're envisioning with this. And you obviously included the definition in your, because it's connected in subdivision two, like I said, line 1.6, about what a large electric power facility is. So what exactly are we talking about here? Do you have, and I apologize you don't have your researcher here, but it would be good for us to hear from you.
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chair, Representative Eric, I am sorry I am not living up to your standards on this. I did not dig into the definition of that because we weren't changing it. So I've explained the purpose of the bill already.
Any follow-up, Representative Burke?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Kraft, when you are adding, so you're literally, that is the linchpin of the entire bill, is what a large electrical power facility is, because you are now making it a 60-day clock in order to do the permit for those. So it would be good for us as the committee to know what is that. So what, you know, is it, again, is it a 5 megawatt, a 10 megawatt, a 50 megawatt, a 100 megawatt? So it's really important for us to know what we're talking about. And I realize that you don't have your researcher here, but that would be one concern. And if you didn't mean it as a statutory definition, then I suppose you could have changed it. Ah, see, you've got a lifeline that just came to the table. If I talk long enough, you get a lifeline that comes out of the crowd. So that's great.
We've got a few lifelines around the room. So
I would hope so, Madam Chair.
Mr. Pranis, would you, do you have some insight for us?
Yes, thank you, Chair and Representative Rarick. So this would, I mean, as Representative Kraft indicated, this is the section that governs, the standard section governing large generation. So it's 50 solar, it's everything that's commissioned, that's approved by the commission. And so I'd say the bulk of your large generating plants, in practice, we're looking at solar. You know, primarily this is covering solar. I think we would argue that the application would be similar to wind, and so we're primarily talking about the permitting of large wind and solar facilities that are covered by that section of statute.
Representative Burr.
Thank you. I didn't think it was a difficult question. I apologize, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Pranis. I appreciate that, and I just want to make sure we know what we're talking about. So when we're talking about that, you know, that's a fairly large land mass and a lot going on. And we heard from the DNR that 60 days is awfully difficult for them when you're talking about all the different things that they have to do. And, you know, 60 days would be great, but I also have concerns, just like Representative Igo said, that it would then cause other things to fall off of that importance list, because this would shoot this right up to the top. But my question actually is, I don't see a fiscal note. And so as we heard from the DNR and MPCA, that this is going to be staff intensive, and if we're going to push this, either things are going to fall off or there's going to be additional staff needed. I can't imagine passing this and actually needing additional staff. So I don't see a fiscal note. Madam Chair, do we have a fiscal note for this?
We do not have a fiscal note. It's been requested, and this is going to environment, so it's time, there's time for that to happen, and I believe it will stay in environment, will it not? I'm not sure if it's coming back here or staying there. Anyway, regardless, it's going to environment, and so there'll be time to get the fiscal note as well as continue working with the agency's concerns. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so once that fiscal note is made available, will we have a brief opportunity to hear that portion of it back here so we can have a totality of what's happening with this bill?
If the bill is coming back, I think that makes all the sense in the world, that we would have a chance to talk about it. If it's coming back, if it impacts our budget, then I think we would have that opportunity, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's all I have. I just want to make sure that we're crossing all of our T's and dotting all of our I's, that we actually have fiscal notes so we can review them as well. And I don't know, since we don't have a fiscal note, where the impact would be and how much of those accounts are in our jurisdiction. So I would appreciate that. Thank you so much. If it does show that it impacts our budget, I'd like to see that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion? Representative Igo.
I'll just make one more closing comment, just kind of going off what I was saying during the amendment. When we're starting to have this conversation on permitting and regulation, all this reform, we can't pick winners and losers. It's either all of them or none of them, because I'm really concerned that we're going to put a lot of other projects at risk by doing this, by putting a mandate saying that this comes first. And if we set a precedent in this room or on the House floor that we can pick winners and losers for Minnesota's permitting regulation system, that's not going to be a state that people want to do business in, even more than they don't already. We have to think twice, act once.
Seeing no further discussion, closing comments, Representative Kraft?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for a robust discussion. I really appreciate it. When I put this bill together, I met with all the agents, you know, probably five or six agencies right now, and will continue to do so. The idea is that given these projects and how they are not surprises, that they're coming and can be seen through the PUC process, that having some kind of a service level and some planning could make a lot of sense. We're not changing the amount of work that needs to be done. We are trying to where it's done in the process. So I do really appreciate some of the comments from the DNR, and we'll continue to work with them to how to make this work and not have the impacts that some of my colleagues on the other side have been concerned about. But this is about, with large projects where there's plenty of runway to see them, having some more determinism in the process. And with that, I would urge your support.
And Representative Kraft renews his motion that House File 3457 be re-referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the bill is re-referred. And with that is all of our business today. Our next meeting is March 5th at our regular 3 p.m. meeting time. So with that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.